First Peter chapter 1. And we really could start at the beginning of the chapter, but we'll pick up in verse 10. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Can you imagine before Christ, before the crucifixion, the resurrection, before he was here walking on the earth and was introduced as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. All those prophets of the Old Testament, what are we looking for today? The return of Christ, right? The rapture. We're looking to go home. So tell me something. When is it going to happen? Right? It's on God's calendar, but we don't know when. And you look back at all of these people in the Old Testament, prophets particular he speaks of here, who spoke of the grace of God, the forgiveness, the hope, the faith, all those things that we live in today. And they didn't know when it was going to come. They preach about it, and then they died, and it still hadn't happened. And so what would the people think of that preacher? He talked about it, but it didn't happen for him. And it hadn't happened for us. Maybe he wasn't right. Maybe he didn't know what he was talking about. Now it's easy for us to see the credibility of these prophets. It's easy for us to look back and say, well, this one said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. This one said, you know, that he was going to be called Emmanuel. And this one talked about the scars and the holes in his hand. So we can look back at the prophets and we can see now that they were what they were talking about was true. But in their day, they preached about something that they didn't know when it would happen. They believed it. The Holy Ghost had given them inspiration. They knew it was going to happen. They didn't know when. Kind of like Noah, right? Noah was building that ark, and they thought he was some kind of fool until it started to rain, didn't they? All of a sudden, he was real smart. But the Bible says God had shut the door, and it was too late. And so they may hear us preach, and they may have heard those prophets preach, but if they don't accept it as it is given by God through his speakers, through his preachers, then they'll die without hope, die without faith, die without understanding. And then when they die, they'll understand because they'll wake up without God. But those prophets preached about something that they longed for, that they hoped in, but they couldn't say like we can that Jesus died on the cross for your sins as the Lamb of God and he rose the third day. David's, you know, in his prophecy, and we looked at that the other day, how he said, you will not leave my soul in hell. Did he know what he was talking about? I don't know if he knew that he was talking about that. But he said it, he wrote it because the Holy Spirit gave it to him. And these things that they preached about, talked about, I know that the rapture is the most foreign idea to anybody that doesn't believe in it. And there are churches, pastors who preach against it. They say, that's not real. That idea came along by some preacher back over in Europe and he developed that whole idea and it's only been around for a few hundred years. I don't know. I thought Paul was around long before that. I think it's pretty plain what he said. He said, the Lord's going to come back and receive us to himself, right? The trump of God will sound, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. I don't know how you misinterpret that. It's pretty plain. And so it's there. We believe it. We understand what God's talking about. But can you imagine somebody that doesn't know that and they go, oh, y'all really believe that? Yeah, we do. And in the prophet's day, when they talked about God's grace, and they'd go to the temple and they'd make a sacrifice, and they say, well, what does that do? Well, they knew it was looking forward to something. When God took the life of that animal so that he could provide skins for clothing for Adam and Eve, he knew what it was about. Why? Because before the foundation of the earth, Jesus was already established and assigned to that duty. But it's a foreign idea. And it remained that way for thousands of years. and they longed for it. Look what it says. They searched for it and they inquired diligently. Man, when's it going to happen? Are we going to be alive? And I bet there were things that happened in their lives and they said, you know, he's coming. He's got to be coming now. Look what's going on in the world. Like we do. Got to be soon. Look at what's going on around. Boy, God's got to do something. But he has a calendar and he said, that's what is going to happen in the fullness of time. And it happened. And now the same thing as we await the return in the air when we're caught up. But we don't know when. But it shouldn't dash our hopes. It shouldn't diminish our hopes and our expectation. They inquired diligently. When? When's it going to happen? I think of Simeon in the temple that day, and the Holy Spirit had told him, you will see the Lord's Christ before you leave this life. And he took that baby, 8 days old, and he held Jesus in his hands, and he said, now I've seen the consolation of Israel. Now I can die. Now I have seen God's Christ. But he didn't know until the Holy Ghost told him that that was going to happen. These prophets of the Old Testament, they preached it, but they didn't know when. They couldn't say, look, this is... Now, there were some prophecies, and we talk about them, Isaiah, Ezekiel. They Jeremiah, they put some dates on. They said, you're going to be there for 70 years. 70 years was up, and this they started repatriating. In a year, this is going to happen. What do you know? In a year, it happened. Next year, about this time, remember when Hannah went to the temple and she cried and she was weeping, and the prophet says, okay, you'll have a son. And she did. Came back next year, or she didn't go next year. And then when she did, weaned the child, and she came back. And she said to the priest, hey, remember me? She said, I'm going to leave this. This is my son that God gave me, and he's going to belong to God every day of his life. Samuel, one of the greatest prophets ever. And there was a date. There was a timeline. God told Abraham, you're going to have a baby. You can hear Sarah laughing behind him. She finally gives up and says, take this woman over here and have you a son. That turned out to be a mess, didn't it? It still is. And God said to Abraham, that's not what I meant. I meant with your wife. And she had a son, just like God said. Look, when God gives us a promise, we don't always know when it's going to happen. Those prophets didn't know when it was going to happen, but had they not preached it and we hadn't had their prophecy, we wouldn't have the credibility for what we know is true. One of the greatest assets that we have for the credibility of our message is that it wasn't something that just happened. It was something that was prophesied hundreds of years before it came to pass. With specificity, with placement, with people, with a lineage. All of it worked in God's timing. And so what they did, they didn't have it, but they searched for it, they longed for it, and they worked in expectation. Searching, verse 11, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them... Isn't it interesting that he says Spirit of Christ? Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things. They had their hope in a Savior. They didn't know. They didn't have a record. They just believed it was going to happen. With all that they preached about and all that they prophesied, and given him a name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. But I mean, that's pretty generic. In reality, that's pretty generic, isn't it? No disrespect, but God with us. They gave him a name. You look at all the things that they detailed of his sufferings and his life. It wasn't in their day. It was in a day between us and them, wasn't it? But they had hope in God. And they had hope in a sacrifice. And they had hope in His grace and mercy and forgiveness. It came to pass, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So God, we've got it. We can look back and say it was Jesus. We can look back and we can go to the place called Golgotha and see the hillside upon which He was crucified. We can go to the tomb where a man carved it out for his own family. But he said, I'm not using it yet. You can borrow it. He only needed it for 3 days. We can go there. We can see that. What a day to be alive. What a faith to hold by the Holy Spirit of God. Now look, with all these things that we've got, look at what he says. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. He said, guys, we as the church have got to get the control over our thoughts. These loose thoughts, which is what a girdle holds together. It keeps everything in tight. Instead of being all over the place, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. We've got to get control of our thoughts. We've got to get control of our attitudes. You think about the tenacity of these prophets, by the way, imprisoned, stoned, put in, Hebrews talks about how they made them wear skins and go into the to be eaten by wild beasts. They went to the lion's den and they went to the into the games where the Christians were destroyed, eaten, attacked by lions. Destitute and naked. But you know, they never once looked back and said, I don't think it was worth it. Burned at the stake. Look at what we have in our history as Christians. And we look at the people who have been destroyed and many executed because of what they stood for. We long for Christians like that today, don't we? If not us, who? What about us? What have we got to lose? We should be the ones standing up. He says, wherefore? In other words, when you look at what they did, what are you going to do? Let's put ourselves in comparison. I know Jesus is the example. We're not comparing ourselves to the prophets, but here Peter says, wherefore, which means look at what they did. Now what are you doing? And he said, get control of your thoughts. Get control of your mind. Get control of your attitude, discipline, and control over loose thoughts. What kind of thoughts? Negative thoughts. Well, I wouldn't be very good at it. Nobody would listen to me. Nobody will get saved if I try to tell them about me. I mean, look at my life. Yeah. Jesus has touched your life. Let that show. How about suspicious thoughts? Doubt, criticism, whims, impulse. Those are all in our mind. We got to get control. We can't be impulsive. We have to be deliberate. We have to have our thoughts together. And then he says this, and y'all know I love this phrase, be sober. What does that mean? Don't get drunk? Well, I mean, that's true too, but that's not what it's talking about. It means be balanced. Somebody asked the other day, he said, what was the best thing that happened to you this week? I said, it's been a pretty good week. I mean, it wasn't a bad week. It wasn't a great week. It was a week. But I said, you got to understand about me, I'm right here all the time. Like I don't have an up day and a down day. I'm pretty much the same every day. You know what that's called? Be sober. Remember that phrase? We talked about the king who searched for a phrase that he could live by that would help him not to be too high on good days and not too low on bad days, but just to be even all the time. And then someone came up with the inscription, this too shall pass. If it's a great day, guess what? This too shall pass. If it's a terrible day, this too shall pass. I was watching about a story the other day, and something great happened, and they said, "Oh, look what happened. Isn't that wonderful?" He said, "Maybe." And then something terrible happened. They said, "Isn't that awful?" He said, "Maybe." I think, in fact, the characters in the story was the military, the son he had was, you know, being recruited by, you know, top military. And he was going to be great, special forces, and go right to the front of the line, right to the top of the line. And then he fell. And so that was, is this great? Well, maybe. And then he fell and broke his leg. And he says, is this terrible? Well, maybe. And then his troop that went in all got killed. And he said, see, maybe. We never know if the bad things are protecting us from later things or if the good things are working out for later things. Just let's be sober. That's right. The Lord has a plan. Be balanced. Be in control. Command of our thoughts. Look at what he says here. Be sober and hope to the end. It's not hard to have hope. A visitor this morning, I was explaining to her about the hope and the love and the forgiveness. I think she got a t-shirt before she left. Hope, love, and forgiveness. They said hope to the end. Not hard to be hopeful. Not hard to have hope. But how many of you ever had your hopes dashed? I guess it all depends on what we're hoping in, doesn't it? Hope to the end. Don't give up. Look, those prophets, they didn't give up. They didn't quit. They hoped. They continued to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, our judgment day is not yet. Our judgment day is not our peers. Whether that's good or whether that's bad. Our judgment day is not yet. Our story has not ended yet. Our ministry has not reached its full potential yet. I don't mean the church. I mean you and me, our hope to the end. That grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. There are a lot of things I did before I knew better. How about you? Before I knew better. But when you know better, do better. He said, don't pattern your life after how it was before you knew better, when you were ignorant, before you got saved. Don't act like somebody that doesn't know any better. Verse 15, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You see, we're supposed to be used of God, useful to God, set apart for God all the time. That manner of conversation means your life. What we're doing, whether we're at church or whether we're at home or whether we're at work or school or out about in town. In every conversation, around every different group, be holy. A reflection of God. They ought to be able to know when we show up. You ever meet somebody and you look at them and you go, you're from Kentucky, aren't you? Ever do that? Or you're from Boston, aren't you? Or from Minnesota, right? A couple of them in here. Or from Georgia. Why do you do that? Usually it's because you can tell by the first thing they say, how they say it. Wouldn't it be great if people met you and as soon as they met you, say, you're a Christian, aren't you? You're a Christian. You got Jesus, don't you? Be holy. Verse 16, because it is written. Peter says, this is not my opinion. This is not an order I just came up with. It is written. It's the instruction of God. Be holy, for I'm holy. Verse 21. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. In God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. You see, he says we purified by obeying the gospel. Well, look at what it says. I'll read it to you. In obeying the truth. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about getting saved. People come in here and we talk about how to get saved. We drill it. We talk about it. You say, well, nobody walked the aisle. Look, I never judge salvations on people that come down the aisle. Because I know there are people that came down the aisle and never got saved. But I believe in the manner in which we present the altar call here. People stand where they are and they pray to God and say, God, I'm a sinner and Jesus died for my sins and I accept you as my Savior and my Lord and I give myself to you and ask you to forgive my sins. And they pray that where they are and nobody knows but them and Jesus. And I can tell you how I know that because I see the difference it makes in their lives. Purified your souls. How? By getting saved and obeying the truth. How? Through the Spirit. You see, it wasn't my idea for you to get saved, and it wasn't even your idea for you to get saved, but the Holy Spirit of God came in and said, it's time to get saved. By the way, he may stay for a season and bother you and say, it's time to get saved, and then it's time to get saved, and it's time to get saved, and you keep putting it off, and you keep saying, but God would never save me, and he couldn't forgive me, and look at my sin, and look what I'd have to give up, and look at all how it's going to change my life. And the Holy Ghost will stay with you, and then he may leave for a season and leave you alone. And you shake it off, and then you don't even worry about it. Go back into sin, and you don't worry about church and the preacher and everybody in your family that's praying for it, and you don't worry about it again. And then one day, that day of visitation, the Holy Spirit may come back and say, it's time. We don't get saved except the Spirit draw us. That's Bible. And so, by the gospel, through the Spirit, but see, something happens. Unto the unfeigned love, in other words, real, sincere, genuine love of the brethren. Real love. You ever get saved and go into church and somebody in church says, he can't get saved. I remember when I got saved, well, and my dad wasn't a Christian. I told the story this morning about being 5 years old and walking the aisle. And, you know, whether I got saved at that moment in a childlike faith, I don't know. Maybe. I went home and said I got saved and want to get baptized. My dad said, you're too young. You can't get saved. Listen to me. My children, growing up in church like I did, got saved earlier than a lot of people. I mean, before they were. Ben, we were on the way to the fair, and Ben said, how do you get saved? We're going to the fair. We can't talk about Jesus now. Of course we did. We talked about salvation and he prayed and he got saved on the way to the fair. Probably a Friday night. Don't remember, but probably. He'd heard about it. The Spirit was dealing with him. What if I'd have said, well, just wait. You don't quite understand it yet. I'll tell you what might have happened. He might have grown up to be a hellion and we might have never rescued him from that. We better get them in church when they're little. Teach them about Jesus when they don't understand yet and give them all the Jesus they can get and so they can get saved early. Oh, it'll save them a lot of trouble down the road. Real love. Boy, the church will be excited when we get saved. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's what saves us. The word of God. Make sure that you understand when somebody wants to get saved, if you have the opportunity, present them the Word of God. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, now they know how. Now they know why. If you have the opportunity, use the word. Use the word. If you don't have your Bible and they're ready, go ahead and tell them what you got. Tell them how. Tell them why. Tell them now. By the word of God. Verse 24, all flesh is grass, is as grass. The glory of man is as the flower of grass. This too shall pass, right? The grass withers, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Peter says there are people who laid the groundwork. And they didn't have what we have. The prophets had the Spirit of God. Old Testament. God gave them the anointing because he used them to preach. He had to give them what to say. But they couldn't look back and say, I walked the aisle, or I was riding down the road, or I was sitting on the bumper of a car and I prayed and said, God, forgive me. Like we can. And that day changed everything like we can. They talk about growing up and going to the temple and Sabbath and sacrifices. And I mean, their whole culture knew it. They all did the same thing. It was just their tradition, they thought. Except for those who took it for more than tradition and decided to be holy. And God plucked them out of the keeping the sheep or keeping the farm or whatever it is they were doing. And he said, I'm going to use you. And they preached. And I'm going to keep preaching the rapture even if I don't get rapture. I may die. It'll be okay. Signs of the time. Lord's going to come back, right? Well, I hope so. Expect to. We can all go together. Or maybe not. Don't know. But it does not diminish my faith in that coming event. Just like it didn't diminish the faith of the prophets in that coming event, which was Christ. Because it never had happened before. Or Noah, because it never happened before. Or the Hebrews as they approached the Red Sea, and it had never happened before. Or the Jordan, and it had never happened before. God is good at doing things that has never happened before. Let's stand. Father, we're thankful for the time that we've had in your word tonight and pray that you will draw us to you, that you will make us useful tonight and through this week, whether it be by encouraging others or leading them to Christ, warning them. However it is, God, just fill us with your Spirit. Give us your message to make a difference. Heal our bodies. Heal our lives to be useful to your service. Dismiss us now with your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.